Robin Wertz left prison back in 2007, facing nearly $25,000 worth of fines and fees related to multiple drug offenses. Without any real job prospects, Wertz knew she could make a phone call out west and earn some quick money to help her with her savings account while she found a job.
I remember thinking I might as well call my friends in California and have them bring me some dope and I would start selling dope again.
Wertz was eventually able to find a job and didn't end up selling drugs. She had her fines reduced to about $6,000, and she should pay them off by this April. But for many former prisoners, the piles of debt are overwhelming and nearly impossible to juggle, she says, especially without a case manager or family member helping out.
You have this list of stuff you gotta get done, you know? I gotta do this and this and this. If you get out of prison and you ain't got nobody there, then what do? You go back to selling drugs, is what you do.
The reality is we fund a great deal of our criminal justice system on the back of individuals who commit crimes.
Former House Speaker Chris Steele championed prison reform while he was at the Capitol and now works as the head of the Prisoner Reentry Program team. He says what was originally built as a tough-on-crime initiative to make up for a dwindling budget over the past two decades has transformed into an insurmountable debt for nonviolent offenders.
What oftentimes happens is, you know, if you're facing a $10,000 debt, that number is so overwhelming, you just don't even try.
If a defendant can't pay bail, debt starts to pile up as soon as a person is booked into a county jail. One of the most widespread and largest fees offenders pay is the jail's per diem rate, a daily charge that can be more than $50 per day in some counties. Those charges are on top of a case's original court fines and fees, says Oklahoma County Public Defender Bob Ravitz.
In almost every case, there's a mental health fee. There's a victim compensation fee. There could be a lab fee if there's drugs involved.
But it hasn't always been this way. Oklahoma courts and district attorneys used to get half of their funding through tax money, former lawmakers say. After decades of budget cuts from the state legislature, though, numerous fines and fees stemming from criminal and civil cases now pay for the court system. Supreme Court Vice Chief Justice Douglas Combs says Oklahoma's judicial branch is more dependent now than ever on that money.
As the legislature continued to cut our appropriations, it forced us to try to do as much as we could in order to collect from those that we could in order to fund the judiciary.
Right now, the court's operating budget relies on the ability to collect money from people who are often unable to pay. Oklahoma County Special Judge Donald Easter says revenue streams from former inmates are unpredictable. Last month, his court issued about 5,000 collection notices for people who failed to pay their debts.
We're dealing with people who have no credit history, who work minimum wage jobs or are not well-to-do, and to expect them to support the entire judiciary of the state of Oklahoma, or even a significant part of it, would be a mistake, just like it's a mistake to think that the emergency room could ever support the entire hospital.
And these court fees don't just stay with the courts. Since 2007, civil and criminal collections statewide totaled nearly $1.2 billion, and roughly one-third of that money was earmarked for state agencies like the Tourism and Wildlife Departments, according to a 2014 state Supreme Court study. Former House Speaker Chris Steele questions the financial wisdom of the current system. Beyond that, he thinks it's just unfair.
When it comes to nonviolent offenders, while I'm a big believer in individual responsibility and believe that there needs to be sanctions and repercussions for any crime that's committed, I think those sanctions and those consequences have to be appropriate.
Without a case manager to help former inmates manage debt, Steele says it can be nearly impossible to keep up with payments after incarceration. And he argues the tough-on-crime mentality hasn't worked. Oklahoma prisons are overflowing, and the state imprisons more inmates per capita than almost every other state in the country. For the Oklahoma Public Media Exchange, I'm Kate Carlton Greer.